Distant Land. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Friends, we always gather on Tuesdays to hear what's happening. This just in. we always hear... we'll get the phone. All right, there we go. I just want to make sure everybody's ready before I introduce you, and you have to go on. Take care of whatever you have to take care of. Anyway, every Tuesday we join together to get our book picks for the week. This week we go to our friends at the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York, and we welcome Thomas Chulak and Sharon Weinberg, and we thank you very, very much for being with us. Hello, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. Now, when last we met, which I believe was early last month, you, or actually early in March, you were going to hang up the phone from doing book picks, and then you were going to go, Thomas, sell the bookstore to Sharon. And so I assume the check cleared, and Sharon, now you are the owner of the Chatham Bookstore.
I haven't checked on the check. I hope it cleared.
Well, we're spending the money. That's all I know.
Well, that's good. So now, so we have the new regime and the old regime for book picks, and we're thrilled that you are both with us to give us a list of terrific books for us to dive into. Now, where shall we begin, and who would like to begin?
I'll begin, Joe. It seems to me that this particular book picks, it's we're struggling to kind of get this one off the ground, but let's see if we'll pick it up here a little bit. The first book I'd like to explore is a book called Here Lies a Father by a brand new author, Mackenzie Cassidy. This is his first novel. This novel is about a main character named Ian Daly, who's a teenager who, with his sister, arrives in an upstate New York town to bury their wayward father. And while they're there to bury their father, they discover secrets that have been kept from them their whole lives. The most significant being that their father had two other families, and there's children in those families, so they realize that they have half-brothers and sisters.
Sounds messy.
Now, Ian's sister basically ignores these new revelations, but Ian, as a 15-year-old young boy, is not able to do that. He wants to know about these families and more about the truth about his father and his life. So the novel takes place over a winter weekend, and the author goes back to reflect on the past several times as he sets out to learn the facts about his father's past. In the process, he reveals his own struggles with being truthful inside of his own self about what it means to be right or wrong, and also the difficulty of growing up in a family filled with lies in terms of who am I and what is it the truth really all about. Mm. The story also takes us on a journey with Ian's friend Scott, and Ian wants so much to belong, and their journey is one of struggle. For those who really enjoy male coming-of-age stories, this is a wonderful read. But one of the things about this book is that Ian has to try to find the truth, basically all by himself, mm-hmm. without the help of adults.
The name of the book is Here Lies a Father by Mackenzie Cassidy. All right, next up.
Okay, we're going to pivot to mothers and daughters, which is appropriate because this weekend is Mother's Day.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with two books about the darker, more fraught side of the mother-daughter relationship. And both of my picks have the added attraction of being set in a variety of locations, including India, Cuba, and Mexico, as well as La Yuma, which I now know is Cuban street lingo for the U.S. So the first book, Burnt Sugar by Avni Doshni, was shortlisted for the 2020 Booker Prize, but has only recently been published in the U.S. This book has one of the best opening lines ever. Quote, "I would be lying if I said my mother's misery has never given me pleasure." Set in modern India, this is a relentlessly honest exploration of a very complicated relationship between a mother who didn't want to be a mother and her daughter who had to live with her mother and her very bad choices, including a horrific but also gripping involvement with a charismatic, manipulative cult leader, as if there's any other kind. Despite the fact that it describes a brutal upbringing, the tone is brisk and unapologetic and darkly funny. It's not confessional. It's more a surgical examination about two people who hate but also love each other. It's a relatively short read, but each word counts, and this is a narrator who will stay in your head for a while. If you're an Elena Ferrante fan, and who isn't, this might be your next read.
Burnt Sugar is the name of the new book. All right, next.
Next is Of Women and Salt by Gabriela Garcia, which is a multi-generational family saga involving mothers and daughters who have to contend with poverty, abusive men, and also revolution and political upheaval. These mothers also make some bad choices, but mostly they don't have the luxury of good choices to make. This book is a tough read involving upsetting situations around drug abuse, domestic violence, forced deportation, and sexual assault. But if we read to have insight and empathy into other lives, I think it's worth it. The descriptions in life in pre-revolution and modern Cuba are so vivid, you will feel that you've actually been there. Of Women and Salt suggests not that we can necessarily change, but that we can understand, and that even the most flawed mothers may be able to save, if not their own, then someone else's daughter. And if you loved Pachinko by Min-Jin Lee, this might be a book for you.
Oh, I love Pachinko. That's such a great novel. The new book is by Gabriel Garcia. It is Of Women and Salt. All right, next up.
The next book is Exhausted on the Cross by Najwan Darwish, translated by Kareem James Abdulzeed. This is a book of poetry by one of the leading poets of the Palestinian struggle. His poetry is so direct that at times it is so despairingly honest that you want to turn away and say it really can't be this bad, but yet here it is. In spite of it all, he is still writing poetry. A couple of his poems. This one's entitled An Obituary. He hoped his obituary would read as follows. He fought the invaders as best he could. He wasn't victorious, but neither was he defeated. In oblivion, he made a life for 1,000 years to come. He died fulfilling his poetic obligations. Another poem, The Beating Rain. You wake to rain, beating on the sea. Your home a ship with roots that grew into the harbor. The rain pounds the sea. Waterfalls creep over the mountain's back. The sky is a piece of gray. The sea's head is heavy, and it, like you, wants a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I love that ending.
Yeah, that's a great ending. Yeah.
Isn't that a great ending?
Yeah.
And then this one, Before Light Comes. We give darkness a bad rap, but I am in its debt. It's the fuel for my imagination. I am the dark. I write my words and close my book before light comes. poems by Najwan Darwish.
The name of the collection is Exhausted on the Cross. All right, next up.
Next up is a brand new children's book in a whole different venue. The book is called Hello World! By Kelly Corgan, illustrated by Stacey Ebert. And this is a perfect book for the moment we are in. It's about a little girl who is moving on. She's got a backpack and a scooter, and she is off to see the world. She finds lots of different kinds of people, including ballerinas on bicycles and bossy bus drivers. But the point of the book is that there's more to everyone than you think, and that the way you learn about them is to ask them questions. It's a fun, bright-colored book with a wonderful message, and I can see little kids, especially as the world opens up, really taking this to heart.
Ballerinas on bicycles. Hello World by Kelly Corrigan, illustrated by Stacey Ebert. All right, next up.
And this is our last offering for this morning. It's called Free Speech and Why You Should Give a Damn by Jonathan Zimmerman, who happens to be the brother-in-law of Sharon. He's a professor of education at the University of Pennsylvania. And the cartoons in this book are by Signe Wilkinson. Free speech is such an important part of democracy. It's one of those precious human rights, says Zimmerman. Free speech allows for hateful words as well as positive words. Everyone has a say when we have free speech. But sometimes speech is used to control people. So in other words, censorship is a form of control, and it is anti-democratic, says Zimmerman. Censors become those who determine what is true and what is not true. Censors think they have a hold on truth, but that is not the case. Truth needs the free trade of ideas if we're going to really have truth. But we live in a time in which free speech and justice are pitted against each other. And often people who don't like what somebody else is saying wants to shut them down. Zimmerman says, don't do it. It hurts democracy. But even more important, when censorship happens, minorities are the ones that get hurt the most. In the book, he talks about how in times of war, all the way up to the Vietnam War, that free speech was not really allowed when the nation was at war. It was only in the Vietnam War that that kind of speech was allowed. He also has a whole chapter on art and the controversy around censorship in art and literature. And then he has one about teachers and about how do you deal with censorship in the classroom? How do you deal with censorship of teachers? How do you deal with censorship of students? How do you have an environment in a school in which there's free speech and safe space? Often throughout the book, Zimmerman takes Jefferson's quote, "Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom." And he says that's what we need right now, because free speech is being attacked. And why should we give a damn? Because democracy depends upon free speech.
Wow. Well, very important. You brought the train right in on time. Thomas, I thank you both for being with us. You can find out more by going to chathambookstore.com. You can also find the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Thank you both for being with us. I appreciate it very much. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.